You are listening to episode number 170 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, Annunciation for the Win. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, after a week hiatus because Brian apparently got arrested for robbery of his own grocery store last week, we had to postpone. Also, Taser was sick, so everybody go hug Taser if you can, but not too close because then he'll stab you.
I don't like seals. Keep the hell away from me.
You liar. You're a big softy. All right, anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, as always and forever will be. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me from the city of New York, city of brotherly love, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show. Hello.
I got New York confused with Philly, brah.
Oh, that's right. That is Philly. Oh, and joining me from the...
New York is the city of, hey, get the fuck out of my way.
I know. I watched Ghostbusters 2.
Actually, yeah.
That's right. Hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, that's
and New Philadelphia York. Is
walking
the home
here,
of
walking here.
Do you know? You know what I learned is apparently they moved the Rocky Balboa statue from the museum place. It's not there anymore.
Oh, who cares? It's a fictional character.
It's iconic. It's Americana, motherfucker. Then again, I wouldn't know.
It's a fictional. They built a statue to a fiction. Character.
It's an inspiration,
okay.
Mother. So is Jesus.
That's like
you don't
Detroit
have
building a statue for
hey, hey.
Let's not argue over the Commonwealth, okay, folks? Let's go on now.
You're from America. You're in the heart of America, Brian. You should understand this.
I don't like to understand my Americans.
You became the odd. Yo, Adrian. Come on, what are you doing?
Adrian!
I'm going to do the whole podcast as Rocky Balboa. And joining me from... hey, yo, it's Johnny B, man. How you doing? You're going to train with me later? We're going to fight a policy or what?
Jesus. Just... move on with
and
the
And we have now officially reached into the meth level of the podcast. Thank you very much.
I just want to fight Paul. You know, I just want to fight. You know, you won't let me fight, but I just want to fight.
You could have been a contender. You should have been looking out for him, Ben.
Are you going to be Paulie?
Do you want to be
He's a wrecking machine!
Or do you want to be Mickey? No, Taser's Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get in there, Rock. You gotta fight tooth and nail.
I'm
same guy.
All right, we'll talk. I legitimately cried when he died in Rocky 3.
I laughed my ass off. I hated Mickey.
I loved Mickey.
No, I laughed when Apollo Creed died in Rocky 4.
Oh, when Apollo died?
Yeah, in Rocky 4, I was laughing.
I can't believe they killed him off like that. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, freaking cerebral hemorrhage from getting hammered by I am Drago.
I must break.
I'm punched out by freaking He-Man. Come on.
Yes.
That was the first Rocky movie I saw when I was a kid. So, you know, I've been told, hey, you know, Rocky's great. Rocky's this. And and Rocky IV is on TV. I'm like, wait, he just killed that dude. And then, of course, Rocky survived him and he overcomes. Then Rocky has a severe, can't fight anymore because of brain damage. Because that's
And that was done to him because of what happened to him with Clubber Lang and
it was a culmination, of course. But to be fair, Drago hit really hard.
Did we just become the Sly Stallone podcast? What the hell happened?
Drago hit hard, but Drago had reach. You know who really hit him hard?
Who?
I mean, if you look at Clubber reaction, Lang? No, yeah, simply by looking at how Stallone's Rocky reacted to freaking Mr. T. Wham! Look at that, and it was like, holy crap!
Yeah, that's why he was able to kick. Well, I mean, he was distracted, but he beat his ass within what, two rounds in that movie? Yeah, I don't remember. But Rocky III is underrated. I love Rocky III. All right, I love all the Rocky movies. Okay, so we're not a Rocky podcast. We're not a Rocky, but I would love to do that if anybody wants to do that. That's Karate Kid. Is that Karate Kid? I don't know.
Yeah, that's Karate Kid.
Okay, it's been so long.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Karate Kid.
You're thinking
of Eye of the Tiger, which means I have to use Eye of the Tiger for the theme show for this time.
There we go.
But let's get right into the news. We're going from the giant that is Rocky Balboa to the smallest character of Marvel, which is Ant-Man. Well, okay, not really, but let's just play along with Ant-Man. Brian, we got some things about Ant-Man, don't we?
Oh, you bet we do. Some minor plot spoilers have surfaced detailing the origin story of Ant-Man, allegedly. What we have so far is this, that Scott Lang, as played by Paul Rudd, is basically he's a thief and a single father. It's very important because I want to see a young Avengers movie one day. I would love to see that happen. He basically breaks into Hank Pym's apartment, at this point played by Michael Douglas, and steals his Ant-Man suit, which, you know, if you've been keeping up with sort of the minutia of the Marvel Cinematic, Hank Pym is already kind of an established scientist at this point. He's done his thing, sort of gone his own separate way, but it's pretty straightforward stuff. You know, there's this core morality to the story they've said, but also coming to surface is the villain. Yes, we have a rumored villain that is none other than Darren Cross. He runs the company Cross Technological Enterprises, who is a He's a competitor, allegedly, in this flick against Stark Industries and Oscorp. I don't know how that'll play out with the whole brands, but we'll
see. Nobody has heard of it. I'm sorry. I'm being a troll. Go ahead.
Yeah. His Cross's villain is the uncreatively nicknamed villain Crossfire. And what we have so far is the two candidates leading the play.
He's a 90s board game?
Will you let me finish the damn story, please?
No way.
Okay, we don't. So far, the leading contenders to play the role of Darren Cross is either Patrick Wilson or Corey Stoll, both of whom are already signed on to play in the movie. But what's interesting is that the character of Cross is set to have his own suit, similar to Ant-Man's, described as, quote, more military style, yellow and black in color, and with a tendril-looking apparatus coming off of its back, end quote. Which alludes to Yellow Jacket, who is an alternate identity once picked up by Hank Pym inside the Marvel Comic Universe.
When Hank Pym went fucking nuts.
There was that too, yes.
He had issues.
So that's what we got so far for Ant-Man.
Okay, am I a little disappointed that Yellow Jacket might be in this movie? Again, Mike, because we don't know anything confirmed from, apparently. This is rumored, right?
This is rumored stuff right here. So.
I am a little disappointed that we won't get to see Michael Douglas become insane and become Yellow Jacket because I think that could have been amazing. But, you know...
Gordon Gekko on the motherfucker, really?
Yeah. Give me a Michael Douglas impersonation as Yellow Jacket. Go. Can you do a Michael Douglas impersonation? I don't think you can.
Michael Douglas is too normal.
I don't really...
Well, that's why it'd be really fun to see him play crazy. I would like to see, not like crazy, but like just like more over the top than what he normally. It'd be fun to see.
I mean, the closest he's gotten, I think, Gordon Gekko. So,
But that's like subdued. Like that's just
exactly, for lack of a better word, doesn't matter.
No. Over the top, Michael Douglas is what was the thing with Glenn Close when he basically busts in her apartment and chokes her ass out and almost kills her. He's not talking. Yeah, he did that. And he almost kills her. But he doesn't say anything. He just breaks in because she had taken his daughter and, you know, they were all, you know, upset over what had happened, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't say anything. He just kind of chokes her almost.
It'd be fun to see him try something to literally.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you. I kind of want to see that myself. I'm just saying it's kind of hard because you don't really see him lose it like that, you know?
That's why I think it would be fun.
Okay, agreed.
But considering that this movie is already losing interest in me because Edgar Wright's not directing the movie, do we know if Janet's in this movie?
No, we don't. We know Evangeline Lilly has been cast in it, but she has not been realized on what she's playing.
Yeah, you know, scouting with Janet, that'd be weird.
Well, because the point is, even if she does, she's Hank Pym squeeze, and Hank Pym's an old
dude. Well, to be fair, he'll just slap the shit.
Unless they get Zeta Jones to play Wasp, I'm not seeing that happening.
See, that's what should have happened in the first place.
Aren't they divorced?
Damn
now,
it!
Though? Aren't they divorced?
It doesn't matter!
Well, I mean, she's
the perfect person to play.
No, I'm talking about in real life. Like, I'm talking about, like, I don't think if I was...
Yeah, they are. They're divorced in the comic and real life, so it's art near
I don't,
life.
Like, I just don't think, like, if I'm divorced, I would want to be with this on the same movie. Unless you're Rihanna, but, you know. But I don't think Catherine Zeta-Jones or Michael Douglas, and I'm like, you know what? It's just going to bring it, especially since they're going to might want to tease with the fact that he hits her. I wouldn't do that. I know you guys want to see that. I just don't think I would understand.
I just want to see him get wasted. I can't believe they stole my suit. I got smack. Oh, God.
Smack my bitch up.
So, I'm a little.
Wesley snatched him out of nowhere, starts slaying vampires, techno music.
Oh, so that's how they introduced Blade to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Blade's the real hero of the movie. Ant-Man's just hiding.
Blade is the real hero. This whole thing is a Blade reboot.
He's a task dodger.
Yes, it's a reboot.
Well, and then at the end of the movie, Wesley Snipes finally gets arrested for tax evasion.
Oh, that's true.
There will be no more Blade movies. All right, y'all say your thoughts on the Ant-Man. I'm meh. I'm not gonna lie. I'm meh on this movie now.
That's fair. I'm sort of the same way too. My big invested interest in this was Edgar Wright helming a movie for the first time. You know, a Marvel movie for the first time, because he's a guy who's very much has his own artistic vision, and to see him sort of putting his stamp on the Marvel universe would have been amazing to see, but. We've lost that now, which kind of sucks. But at the same time, the story, you know, I'm a big story guy, and this has me very much intrigued. Again, it's all just rumor. There's nothing really confirmed or denied yet. But if this movie pans out, I think it'll be an entertaining flick. I'm not saying it's going to be Marvel's, you know, crown jewel. I don't think it could have been even with Edgar Wright at the helm. But so far, I mean... It's sort of, not only is it sort of intrigued me, but it makes sense, too. I mean, the whole thing about creating a yellow jacket suit for the villain to use, you know, that's like corporate espionage, building their own suit. That's like what happened with Iron Man. Everyone's trying to build their own Iron Man suit. No one does it. Justin Hammer sucks worse of it than anybody else in the Marvel Universe. But if we actually came across a guy who's under the radar but smart enough to build his own suit, that could set up any number of interesting stories to tell. So if this story pans out the way I hope it does, I would very much like to see that. So I am cautiously optimistic.
John?
I'm busy looking at Haley Atwell pictures again on Google.
Oh, God, have some class, man.
How much of two of a fucks I give about this. Like you guys, my interest in the movie kind of has gone with Edgar Wright not on the project. You know, it's a wait and see deal for me. Otherwise, until I see more or hear more about it, I'm just like, not much I can do. That's all I can say. I'm going to go back to looking at the pictures. So if you hear any screaming,
mute your damn mic. Oh.
I will.
Taser.
Just hear tap, 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 tap in the background.
Honestly, Wright being attached to this production didn't mean anything to me. You know, I've liked a few Edgar Wright movies, don't get me wrong, but I don't care about, you know, director. I just care about how the product, you know, looks and, you know, performs when it's released. Most of my yay or nay, you know, says, naysay, that kind of comes from that footage from way back when you had the, you know, CGI'd Ant-Man, you know, beating up two guys in, like, Secret Service gear, you know, and I just kind of, you know, I just, that did not sell me, you know.
Well, I will say it wasn't meant to sell you, it was meant to see, like, well, this is what we have.
Right, and like I said, it was test footage, and, I said that offline.
Test footage but, received a while ago, though, I mean.
Right, that's true. Quite so. So, it's I'll be the first to admit it's not entirely fair for me to not have any sort of big expectations, and it's not like they've been lowered because Wright's gone. I just didn't have a whole lot of expectation from the jump, even before that footage came out. Because I mean, we're talking Ant-Man. You know,
Ant-Man, man, you see, it's
Ant-Man.
Give me a good Brooklyn accent, Ant-Man
is. I don't see. Honestly, I don't see Ant-Man as somebody that you can do a featured film on.
Well, they're doing it.
and that doesn't. No, but we're talking good feature film. Just okay. Because they get a feature film, what? Well, that's like Elektra, for God's sake.
Elektra could have been a good movie, given
Elektra saw.
Yeah, but given I maintain. I'll say I'm a little off topic. I will maintain, given the mythos behind Elektra, that could have been an entertaining ninja movie. But they didn't do that.
Yeah, which would have turned it. Yeah, because you know why? Because they had to give her feels. Because you can't have a character who's amoral.
You can't have a female character.
You have to have a character who's.
Can a female character without that?
Okay, yeah.
Because if it was a dude, they could have just made her Punisher. Or not Punisher, but, you know, it would have been less of a problem. Let's be honest.
Actually, a good Marvel male movie without feels was that last Punisher movie, which kicked ass. That's all they needed to do was be violent and dead. So, anyway. But, like I said, I don't see, you know, an Ant-Man movie working. I can't. My expectation hasn't lowered. It's always been low, so it remains unaffected by Wright leaving, you know, leaving this production. It hasn't changed at all.
I'd rather see an Adam movie personally. It'd be cooler.
I say the same thing.
Yeah.
He could actually shrink down
to
like.
Shit together.
He could actually shrink down. Well, you know why they won't
do it.
He's not grim and gritty enough. That's why. Well. You could probably throw in why his wife hates him. Well, no.
Do we sound like Deadpool to you? Come on, we don't care about that.
Not you guys, obviously, but I'm talking about the direction DC Entertainment wants to take their movies. Just look at Superman. It's grim and gritty.
You know why?
I'm just saying.
They're marvelizing them. Saying it. They're marvelizing them.
But less,
they're making
less,
it so conflicting.
Less,
and
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about how like the film feels. It doesn't. Okay, off topic. I like Man of Steel, but that movie is not fun in terms of like it doesn't have like the entertainment.
No,
values.
It's not. It's not fun at all.
And the color, there's like no color in that movie. Even Superman is muted. So, like when that's what I'm saying.
Actually,
never...
it's not heroic. It's not heroic.
Okay. Yes. That's why you'll never see an Adam movie. And when Green Lantern, they did the pseudo hero thing. Granted, you didn't like the movie. They did the whole superhero thing. And then it tanked and like, well, let's, well, you know, whatever. The point is,
you know why it tanked? Because they pussied out Hal Jordan. Well, Hal Jordan was like alpha male plus, and they made him a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
And that's not a word I like using, but that's what he was.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what to do. What should I do? I don't know what to do. What should I do? And he's the only hero that I know of that loses his first fight against a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Only one I can think of.
Batman lost
to
Scarecrow. He got gas thrown in his face. That's a loss, right?
His very first fight, though?
His first fight, he loses.
So
I don't remember. I'm just throwing up shit. Either way, I'd rather just leave it. I'd rather see an Adam movie, The Adam, starring Ray Palmer, because he can like go into like the like mini microverse shit and find cool shit that way, versus Ant-Man. And I like Ant-Man.
If they did do an Adam movie, I wish they used the Korean guy. If only because
diversity for the
world. I would like to see a Korean brother get some work. That's really it. And it's not like I don't
Steve
like Young. I have no problem.
Steve Young for Ryan.
Is that the guy who voices?
Actually, that would not be bad.
Is that
I like
guy who
that
plays
idea.
Glenn on The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
See, he's getting all the Asian role, all the American Asian roles now.
Which because he is the people's Asian.
Well, you know he's
no. You still
Tony
have what's his name from Lost? You still have what's his name from Lost? Because he's Korean.
Daniel Day Kim.
I forgot about that guy.
He's still on Hawaii 5-0.
He's mean to his wife.
He's a little older, though. He's a little on the older side. He's not as young
like
as
that.
Whatever.
Like people are going to go, oh, no, he's too old to play Professor.
okay, let's move on, because this is not... See, we want to do a DC podcast, but currently their State of the Universe does not allow us to do it.
Get your shit together, G-Cup. Get it together.
All right, we got some casting for the Daredevil Netflix show.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Starting off, we have officially reached Foggy Nelson, everybody. We have our Foggy being played by Eldon Henson, who has a diverse body of work, including probably most notably the Mighty Ducks series, as pointed out by
Wes is going to be happy. Wes is doing it right now.
Poster on the Green Lantern Corps message boards. Yeah, there was a Ducks clip posted with the casting news, so I'm pretty sure he got wind of that. For those of you, he plays Fulton Reed, who's like the top guy of the team. So
he's pretty well, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, he does okay. He's done a lot of stuff, but
oh, okay, so he's been busy. So he's not. I thought he was out of work. Oh, yeah. I'm like, wow, they dug out from where'd they dig this guy out of the grave?
Let's get that one kid from Mighty Ducks to play Foggy. Well, he was
awesome as Fulton Reed. Okay, he was great. That's not the nice.
Hey, I'm not saying
the Bash Brothers were awesome. Okay, that's all I want to say. Bash Brothers were great.
But he has done a lot of stuff. He's been working pretty much nonstop since then. He's got a ton of TV and movie roles under his belt, so he's got acting talent and he's diversity. So I think he'll be a good Foggy Nelson. Admittedly, I did enjoy Ben's pitched idea about Josh Gad playing Foggy. I think he would have been a great
role. He literally looks the role.
And he's got that sort of that not really a scumbag look, but kind of like
Weasel.
What's the word? What's the word?
Weasel.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like Bobby.
Yeah, he's got that Weasel.
He's like Bobby Heenan
to him. That's good. Exactly. Get Bobby Heenan to be his picture on the mantle. That's my grandpa. Yeah, okay. And also we have another bit of casting news. The very first female role added to Daredevil is none other than Rosario Dawson. She has come on board in a quote pivotal role, and she will play a dedicated young woman whose quest to heal the wounds of Hell's Kitchen brings blind attorney Matt Murdock, played by Charlie Cox, unexpectedly crashing into her life while her own journey forever alters the course of this battle and the injustices of the Broken City. So, that's what we got. If I may be so bold.
No, I want to say it.
I want to say
it. I'm the boss, so I'm overriding you.
Maya Lopez!
We were completely thinking about the wrong different people.
Oh, halfway Mary. Well, I think Maya Lopez.
I was thinking Kristen McDuffie.
Who?
Interesting.
She's Matt Murdock's latest love interest.
That'd be bringing a whole.
As soon as I saw how she said it said she wanted to represent justice in Hell Kitchen or like cleanse, I was like, oh, that's Kristen Duff. And granted. Skin colored, she may end up playing somebody entirely else. But as soon as I saw Rosario Dawson, I looked at Kristen and it just makes sense.
I didn't even think of, just because it's such a new concept, the character. I didn't even think about it being on the radar. But wow, yeah, that actually works really well. But yeah, like I said, I totally am convinced it's probably Maya Lopez, which would be a great way to introduce Echo.
You think it's Echo? You really think it's Echo?
I think so. Even if she doesn't become Echo. I think she is at least going to play Maya Lopez. Okay.
All right, well.
That would be cool if she played, if she did become Echo. I think that would be pretty cool, though.
Yeah. In that cool costume.
She needs a
hand. I was thinking because, you know, anyways, she gets to play a deaf character. She's dead.
She died over in Ben's.
Nuh-uh.
She
got iced.
She was alive in Daredevil End of Days.
Well, she went to Moon Knight and they killed her off.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Damn it. Always killing off the sexy Latinas.
I'll tell you, man, that hurt me deep.
I'll tell you right now, when I heard Rosario Dawson was going to be on there, I was like, oh, hell yeah. She's a good actress. Loved her in Clerks 2, and I loved her in Sin City.
I loved her in Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, I
refuse to see that abomination of a film. That's a son of a bitch. And as we're speaking, I've switched over from Haley Atwell to Rosario now, so I'll be smoking a cigarette for a minute. But But on the other guy with this Foggy Nelson, I'm not really familiar with him, so I'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, when I heard Rosario's on here, I'm like, hell yeah. So Daredevil's starting to look really good to me in terms of what they're doing.
In terms of the Foggy Nelson casting, I'll say is like as long as Charlie Cox and this guy, what's his name? Fulton
Reed. Elton Henson?
No, I'm calling him Fulton Reed. Sorry, guy. I know you probably hate that. I'm calling you
Fulton Reed.
Fulton Reed
went on to become a lawyer in New York City.
It's not impossible, okay? Granted, how holy. Anyways, as long as Charlie Cox and Fulton Reed have a great relationship on camera, that's all that matters. As long as they can get across that they are friends, that they have been through lots together, that they've been through the shit, and they're actual, and it doesn't feel like a staged relationship. It actually feels genuine. That's all I ask for those between those two, and of course for Fulton Reed to be his own character. But that's all I want out of him. Just be Foggy. I really like Jon Favreau's depiction of Foggy Nelson. That's just me though. And I was hoping they kind of just would have asked him back, like, hey, you want to play Foggy Nelson again? I know you're old and all, but you kind of want to do it again? I think
Jon Favreau. Maybe he can play his father or something. That'd be cool. Or how have him get the shit, you can play Battle and Jack Murdock.
yeah, why not? Well, no, he's too nice looking to be his dad. I wonder if they're going to cast his dad. Battle into the whole Jack Murdock. I mean, he's kind of important.
It's probably not going to be a major announcement, though. Probably something small.
Yeah. Maybe they'll cast Sly Stallone. No, they'll cast Stallone. The box. I don't know. They'll cast.
Yeah, he's too busy making Expendables.
Nope. All right.
Anybody?
I have no excitement for Expendables 3. By the way, it's like. It ended for me after when you ruined Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I want to see the all-female Expendables that he's working on. I want to see that.
Well, I'll see that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting too. But you know why I want to see this?
Is he going
to be in it? I don't know.
I haven't heard.
Okay, if she's not in it, then it's not worth it. I'll say that right now.
She doesn't have the movie.
Huh?
She doesn't have the movie review on her. I mean, the movie.
I don't care. She's a badass.
She didn't do movies.
I'm sorry, but Stone Cold Steve Austin did. I'm just saying, like, Xena Warrior Princess, badass female.
Well,
that's a.
Stone Cold's actually done movies. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah. Not good movies.
Whatever. The point is, if you're gonna have a badass female like action movie, Xena needs to be there. That's all I'm saying.
This movie only needs two things to fit that quota. Okay, let me tell you what
Gina
they are.
Carano?
A. Sigourney fucking Weaver.
And B. Gina Carano.
What?
Gina Carano.
Actually, I was gonna say Hamilton, but I guess that works.
Linda Hamilton's cool too, but Gina Carano needs to be in there.
I would agree with Gina Carano.
Liam Hemsworth of that movie. She's the young blood.
If Gina Carano is in that movie, Ronda Rousey will not be in that movie. That makes me sad.
No, you know who they could put in there instead of Gina Carano? Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah.
All right, no more Expendables talk. Let's move on. Let's move on. Seriously,
ooh, Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock in the same movie? Oh,
yeah, it's been quite a while. Wow, that would be good. I'll pay good money to see that.
You know, and you know who I'd put it in there just to piss people off? What's her name? Kathleen Turner. Even though she sounds like a man now, I would put her in it because she did V.I. Warshawski.
Like
she did Romance the Stone and Jewel of the
Nile. Someone needs to get China. From the old WWE and put her.
You know, she's back on the roids. Oh. Seriously, she would not be bad for this.
That's got big drawn porn nowadays. Roid rage.
Well, she played She-Hulk in that Avengers porn. I'm just saying.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
Yes, she did.
All right,
I still got to do that.
All I'm saying is that if they do Expendables women, that sounds so horrible. Xena Warrior Princess needs to be in there. They need to find her. I don't know her act real name.
Lucy Lawless.
I'm just sorry. Like, you have, like, she's, like, in terms of real action characters,
Hey, you know, she played a half-decent mercenary back in Burn Notice in one episode, so I give her that role.
Oh, she was in that terrible show? Well, I feel bad for her.
She was a guest spot, you idiot.
She was in that terrible
Hold
show?
Hold on, wasn't she also in, what was that movie with the...
She was number 3 in Battlestar Galactica. She was Lucrezia on Spartacus.
She's been around. All I'm saying is put her in the movie. Let's move on to the final piece of thing that's going to have me pissed
God,
off on the internet.
Yeah. In case you can't tell, I've been trying to put this off. So let's just... Okay, folks. By now, you've no doubt heard the talk about Fantastic Four and what will be coming for the franchise. But, oh, good Lord. If they could have sunk any deeper, they sure as hell tried this week. Let's dive in, shall we? Fantastic Four, directed by the man that did Chronicle. This was pointed out earlier to me. Probably shouldn't have been a surprise, but it's going to be found footage feel, people. That's what we're talking about here. A Fantastic Four movie with a found footage feel. That's what that
Nail
is.
Nail in the coffin. Nail in the coffin.
It's like you want me to hate.
Okay, you. Okay, one. I'm jumping in right
it's
here.
Like it's like you're asking me to hate.
No. You all. All the people who applauded him are the same people who are hating on this guy for doing. You know what he does. Directors do the same shit over and over again. Lucas uses over CG. Guillermo does a lot of puppetry.
Spotlight.
All I'm saying is that you know what he does. They hired him to be him. I expected this. All right, that's all I'm saying.
You expected this?
I expected it to have some role in
okay.
It.
Okay, hold on.
And just
on.
Because
you're
the
telling
movie,
me,
and I'm sorry, and hold on, I'm sorry. What aspect of the Fantastic Four says that it does not work with found footage? How anything could work with found footage as long as you can.
Everything works against the found footage. Okay, hold on. You're saying you're not surprised? This guy's done one
rage,
movie
rage,
before
rage.
One movie. That was the only movie. Chronicle has been his only major theatrical release that he's directed. Okay, that was
his
only
release that got him this job.
Oh my God!
It got him this
why?
Job.
I just don't
why
understand.
Why change
why
what?
Sound
look,
footage? Okay.
From
no, no, no.
His standpoint,
you know what found footage does? You know what found footage does?
Like,
it narrows the view of everything. It completely. It's like having a set of blinders on while watching the movie. Okay, you can't have a shaky cam go everywhere. That's what they're talking about here. Okay. This is bullshit.
I know what a found footage movie is, and I think it could be very interesting to do with the Fantastic Four.
Hey, bros, up in space with my bro, Ben.
You think it's
gonna
be like that? We have known nothing about how the characters.
And yet somehow we find footage from a downed rocket ship, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we are talking about here today.
We don't know where the found footage is coming from.
Oh my God!
It just says found footage, found footage can be from error. All I'm saying is it's an interesting experiment, and I'm willing. Unlike some people, where we haven't seen costumes, we haven't seen set pics, we haven't seen shit on this movie. All right, that's what I'm saying.
Good for you. You're willing to accept anything into your eye sockets or whatever the hell.
I'm willing to give a movie a chance to be try to be something different. I'm not willing.
You
I'm
give
not gonna
it up for a cheap profit.
I'm not. Look, I'm, here's the thing. Here's a great thing. You know, here's a great thing. I didn't even like Chronicle that much, but I can appreciate what he's doing here. What I can't appreciate are people who are bashing this thing when there's nothing to be bashed against. We haven't seen anything. We don't know anything.
Oh, don't you even start with me. Have you seen anything from this movie?
We
the
haven't
casting?
Seen. Oh, okay. They cast a black guy to play the Human Torch. Big fucking deal. He's also a great actor. He's also a fine actor. Miles Teller is decent. I've seen some of his movies.
Great to find.
Miles Teller is a decent actor. Okay.
Okay. Don't even start with me.
And Kate Mara is great on House of Cards. She is amazing on House of Cards. She's an amazing actress. So unless you've actually,
She was in Shooter.
I'm going off of House of Cards, and she's great there.
And Zoom. She was in Zoom with Tim Allen.
There you go.
What I'm saying is, what my whole point is that we haven't seen anything. Like, we haven't seen shit.
We haven't gives seen your entire
thank God they get to see shit.
Of turning in bad performances and bad decisions. I don't know what this is, man.
You've heard buzzwords. You've heard buzzwords, and that makes you think this movie is going to be terrible. You haven't seen anything yet. All you've heard
is not buzzwords, though.
It's not a buzzword. It's a buzzword.
It's not. It's not a buzzword.
It's a movie buzzwords style. But you haven't seen how the movie's going to be shot, though. You haven't seen that. You haven't seen anything.
Well, and based on what this guy's... movie's going to be based on found footage, which means that it's not going to be happening live. It's going to be footage that was found, and then we'll be reviewing it. We're not, most movies aren't told in the past tense. This movie will be told in the past tense.
And what's so wrong
movies
with
are,
that?
Most movies are told in present tense.
And what's so wrong with that? It's something
different. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just explaining it differently.
Non-linear storytelling is a cornerstone of Quentin Tarantino, who does it very, very well. But the problem is the found footage aspect has been done wrong multiple times. So that's
and
what I'm...
And what do you think it's going to be done wrong this time?
Because it's a chronicle. It's the Fantastic fucking Four. And you're turning
it into...
What about
the Fantastic Four says it can't be done? What about the core of the character says it cannot be done? What about
Let me field this.
Okay.
The core storyline of the Fantastic Four is that Reed Richards decides to do something big and spectacular, and it fails horribly, and it changes these people forever. Okay. But we're talking something ginormous. There's nothing in this. Found footage is usually something that's hidden away from everybody, and somebody stumbles across it. There's nothing about the Fantastic Four mythos that says they could have found footage. This would be something where they're either not astronauts and they do something else that you can do surreptitiously, okay? And that kind of goes against what the Fantastic Four is about, because the Fantastic Four have been public from the jump, okay? So... found footage means that these people will be doing stuff in secret, which changes their dynamic. You can't argue that, all right? I'm not saying the found footage idea is a bad thing. It's not what I would have done. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. However, I can definitely understand why Bri would get upset, because a lot of movies that do found footage tend to be kind of, what, really? You know, Paranormal Activity is found footage. Okay, it's a story told in the past tense.
Did this guy direct Paranormal Activity?
No. I'm not talking about...
No, I know you're not talking about that. What I'm talking about...
the style of the storytelling. That's what found footage is.
Found footage doesn't equal to bad storytelling, though.
No, but I'm not. But I'm not talking about that. But see, that's what I'm saying, though. When you look at the Fantastic Four, everything about them has been... current, direct, and the public has been involved because it's spectacular. That's what the Fantastic Four is. They're spectacular. They were superstars from the jump in just about every iteration. So here, if they're doing found footage, and they want to keep it like that, then it has to be somebody reviewing the life of the Fantastic Four or something along those lines, which kind of sounds eh. You know, because it's like going through history, and that doesn't sound right to me. That's to me, okay? I don't know if I'd want to look at it like that. I like the Fantastic Four something that's coming off of what's happening right now, you know? And being a reviewer, that doesn't work for me personally. Granted, like you said, we don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know how it's going to play out. You're 100% correct. I'm just saying, if they're doing found footage, this is how found footage stories tell their story. Okay? Let's be clear about that.
Let's propose this. Because it's going to have found footage aspects to it. X-Men Days of Futures Past also did have found footage aspect to it. Not the same as, say, Chronicle, where the
Are you talking about the old-school footage, yes. News footage?
Yes.
That wasn't found footage. That was like an Easter egg type shit. That wasn't conveying any... Oh, my God. Never mind.
The movie itself was not found footage. No, but saying that a movie is found footage is Cloverfield. Cloverfield is a movie that's told via found
but
footage.
But if he manages to tell a typical superhero story... but uses found footage aspects, I think it could be done. Like just the cameras.
I can't
not,
say
just
it
the cameras
can't be done.
Not still. Like who
Fantastic
says it has to?
Shake.
Okay, so who? I mean, you're using the word found footage, implying what it means. I understand what it means, but instead of found footage, it seemed from the perspective of something else. I don't know. All I'm saying is that instead of bashing this thing. Instead of hating on this thing because of what you've read and heard instead of what's going to be and I still am still saying that this is the guy who directed Chronicle, a movie that was really successful to him, and they and 20th Century Fox hired him because of that movie. They hired him because they wanted to pay him to do what he did best, and that was that style. Now, all I'm saying is let's see something. They haven't. All we know are the four people who are going to play Fantastic Four. Who two of them I know are very good, decent to great to good actresses, and that all you've heard are outside of found footage is that the buzzword dark and grim and gritty. When every press release movie over the past 10 years has used that. And more than likely, if you go look at the movies that were associated with those comments, you will in fact have enjoyed those movies, for the most part. Maybe not all of them, but for the most part, you enjoyed those movies. So all I'm saying to the internet is that, and again, and like nobody gave a legitimate reason why it was a bad idea. Taser, you actually, and I applaud you, you actually gave a good conclusive argument on why you wouldn't like it. I get that. Everybody else is
why
like,
are you surprised by that? I'm insulted.
Well, it's the internet, so I assume everybody's out to be stupid. All I'm saying
is... Okay, well, that's true, because I am. But anyway.
All I'm saying is that when that comment came up, all everybody did was bitch. That's all they did, Bri included. So what I'm saying, and again, all I'm saying is that let's see something. Let's see a trailer. Let's see how it's going to be cut. Let's see something first. If it's terrible,
all right, but
that's all I want. That's all I want. Let's not condemn this movie to death because Lord knows we did that with X-Men First Class, and look how that turned out. Now I'm not saying this movie
was a surprise.
So
but
let's
for Bri, hold on, for Bri's edification, a lot of people are. I'm going to assume, and if Bri agrees with me, he'll let me know. A lot of people. Are suffering trepidation at this story, at the way this story is going to be told.
Based
because you look at the movies that use this style of storytelling, and
which is different.
A lot of them
do different things, though. I mean,
that's true.
That's like saying,
but,
that's
no,
like,
Chronicle
that's like saying,
itself is.
No, what I'm saying, that's like saying all noir movies suck because you don't like one noir movie, or you don't like a handful. That's
I know, but if I just like one found footage
so
movie, then
I
think I'm automatically going to like every found footage movie.
All I'm saying...
Take it away, Brett, right?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying... You're right, Ben, about the whole noir thing, but just because I like one noir movie doesn't mean I'm automatically going to like every single movie and give it a chance. Even because, look, you're right. We haven't seen anything... But what we have seen has been less than good.
You've heard things. That's all you've done.
So what do you...
No, this is not something that only one person has done. This is a style of story. Remember, what was it? The Blair Witch Project was found footage.
Talking about in terms of the Fantastic Four itself, in terms of the movie itself, not just the found footage anymore. I'm talking about in terms of the Fantastic Four itself overall,
the negative
reception it's received. That's
what
I'm talking
because
about.
They have been – those movies have been fun and dumb. Look at how their stories have been told. They aren't the best out there. I think we can kind of agree with that.
Uh-huh.
They're not the best. They may be fun. They're fun but dumb.
Go found footage
Come
movies?
No. The Fantastic Four movies.
What I'm talking about is the press releases, the announcements, the buzzwords, the found footage announcement recently that
with the buzzwords already. No, get off
that's
your
what
board.
It is. We want to when people because people
it's
jumped on
information,
this.
Ben. It's not. It's information.
No, it's not. It's a buzzword.
I think you're intertwining buzzwords and hype.
No, it's buzzwords.
I think that's what you're doing there.
It's just all movie. It's all the cliche things they're going to say to the interviewers to get people interested, to get people like you and me talking, which they're doing successful, by the way. And that's all it is. Because, again, I think Hypo posted several posts before that Iron Man 3 said the same thing. Iron Man 2 said the thing. Thor said the same thing. They all say the same thing during interview process time when nothing has been shot, when all there's a script.
Yeah, but most of us wanted to see those movies regardless of what was said about them because we wanted to see the next movie. This is going to be the first reboot for that franchise. So, and I'll be the first to say, I paid for both movies, and I was disappointed both times. I'll see this movie regardless of the found footage storytelling
so
and
is,
anything
is
else
negative
that comes down the pike.
Of this new reboot, any negative connotation, is that based on because the previous two movies were terrible? Not because of 20th Century Fox, but because Tim Story legitimately did
actually,
a bad movie?
Ben, it's kind of the opposite. I'm willing to bet I like the first Tim Story Fantastic Four movie better than this one by the time all is said and done.
We'll see in 2000. We'll see by next year.
We will see.
But that's going to be our Guardians where I'm going to convince you to hell you're going to like this movie.
Wait a second. Before you close out, John's been patient and quiet. I don't think we can close this out without hearing him.
I wasn't closing out, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. I sounded like you were. My bad.
No, I wasn't closing out.
That's all right. The more I'm hearing, the more I'm hearing, like I said, nail in the coffin. And I will say this, on the whole thing with the found footage thing, I enjoyed the hell out of the Blair Witch Project, you know, when it came out. The endless ones they've done now with Paranormal Activity, I just couldn't get into it. And to be honest, I have not seen Chronicle. So I'm not going to judge the director for this movie, because I have not seen his previous work yet. And I've heard great things about it. But it just... I don't know. This is the more it sounds like, the more they're just wasting their money to make a movie just to keep the license instead of giving it back to Marvel. And that's about how I feel about it. I could care less if Johnny Storm is black, red, yellow, green, white, yellow, you know, whatever. As long as he's a good actor.
Where are you hiding the Martians, John boy? Spread the Martian love, man.
Dude, I'm just it's like this. I'm about to put on the red ring of rage the more I hear about this movie and go Atrocitus all over it. To borrow from another company. But that's about all I can really say. That's why I was kind of staying quiet because it's just, the more I hear, I'm like, whereas with Taser with the Guardians, I'm going to be with this movie. And I'm going to have to see trailers first and other more stuff before I even going to want to touch with my 10, as I made a very impolite joke on the forums one time about Iron Fist #1, I will not touch, otherwise I'm not touching it with that, Tasers, yours, or anybody else's until I see something even remotely, positive to reverse the negativity that I've got for it. So, and that's all I'm going to say on it is, I got to take blood pressure medicine because, my blood pressure keeps boiling over on that stuff. So I'm just going to sit here in the corner and kind of smoke a fatty.
My heart!
Yeah. And pretty much.
And
go ahead, sir.
All I'm saying, and this is to close it out, is that I wish people would give this movie at least a chance to see something but this is the internet, so it's unexpected, so I'm fighting an uphill battle already. To fight against it.
Oh, woe is you.
I am Jesus, so. Jesus.
You mean Jesus?
No, he's the guy who cuts my lawn.
Jesus!
That I
was. Let's thank Jesus for this meal.
That was a self-hating comment right there.
Well, no, I mean, it was because yesterday, whenever I would see Mexicans in Mexican jerseys after they lost in the World Cup, I'm like, did they lose? And I would smile. Yeah. Like, well, you're Mexican. No, I'm American.
Self-hating person.
I'm not from Mexico. I don't give a shit about Mexico.
Uncle Ruckus.
I'm from fucking. I was born in America. I have no ties to Mexico. Other than bullshit ancestry.
Yeah, you were born in America. You know, the continent.
Fuck Mexico, seriously. This is
so were they, technically.
There was a reason why they come over here and they want to leave.
Simple.
I love that song in Rocky IV.
Here my hand.
Are you doing James Brown? Rest in peace, James Brown. Rest in peace. We missed you. Okay,
pay your taxes, James Brown. Anyway,
he didn't pay taxes.
He got busted.
Oh, you learned something new every day. All I'm saying is that let's give this
50 years.
Let's all pray to movie Jesus and let's give this movie a chance and maybe, just maybe, we'll actually like it. Just maybe it'll be a Christmas miracle. Who knows? All right, moving on to books of the week, because I think that's all the news. Because I don't read Marvel anymore, apparently, because I'm dropping Marvel books left and right. I'm still reading the awesome epic that is...
You don't read single issues anymore, much less. I mean, Jesus.
Well, you know what? Hey, cutting times, baby. You know, Uncanny Avengers, number 21. Brian, the series is so good.
So good, though. And he keeps you guessing about what he's going to do, too. Twists and turns, man.
So this issue, the X-Men finally managed to come back in time. And my favorite panel in the opening segment is when Scarlet Witch, where Rogue admits that she was going to have to kill Scarlet Witch. And Scarlet Witch is, you were coming to kill me? And then Rogue simply says, all in the past. Come on now, hug it out, sister. I just love it. I love that. I was literally yelling. So pressure's on. The Uncanny Avengers have to stop the Celestial from stepping on the Earth again with the help of Rogue, Scarlet Witch, and Simon. As the job is the Rogue is tasked to basically absorb every single superhuman's power on the Earth. And that'll allow her to hold up the Celestial's boot to not step on Earth, giving enough time for Thor to slice down and kill the Death Celestial.
Did Scott Summers conceive this plan?
No, his brother did, so close enough.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Wait a minute, hold on. They had Thor kill a Celestial?
With Jarnjerborn, the Celestial Killer. Well, that's how this whole mess started was because in like Thor in the Norse Age, he had picked a fight with Apocalypse, and that sort of
he made that weapon. You know what's funny about that? You know what's really funny about that? Isn't that why Odin made the Destroyer?
I don't know
to take on the Celestials.
But Jarnjerborn sounds cooler. Jarnjerborn sounds cooler.
Yeah, but no. But what I'm saying is this. Didn't,
I think you're saying it wrong.
Who made Jarnjerborn? Who made that?
I don't remember. I have to look at the issue.
Okay. Yeah, you look at that and didn't, what was it? Loki showed Thor a book and Thor took the book to some dwarves and they made that thing. Odin, using the Odin power, could not destroy. It was the fourth Celestial host, which is why he had the Destroyer armor made and put his essence in it and tried to take on the Celestials and got his ass whacked. So you mean to tell me that a bunch dwarf... Go ahead.
Actually, dude, it was not just Odin. It was the entire pantheon of gods.
Thank you.
And a couple other people.
All the sky
up to
fathers.
2,000 feet, motherfucking engine of destruction.
You know what? Who gives a fuck about that? Because I never read that story, so it doesn't matter. So meanwhile, Wasp somehow manages to recruit Horsemen of Apocalypse Sentry to actually help lift the Celestial's boot, which is crazy.
Who cares about history?
Yeah, who fuck history? It doesn't matter. They're going to reboot the universe next year anyways. Who gives a fuck anyways? That's the sad truth. So you have Thor basically cleaving the Celestial, allowing his energy to spew out. And you think the day is one evil Sentry actually did some good, actually helped save the world versus the previous several times he's been around. But, Brian,
but as
you know, Kang the motherfucking Conqueror was lying the wait, and this is where he made his move.
Kang was scheming?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know, right? So Kang...
How could Kang have schemed?
Kang, along with his Deathlok from another universe, takes Thor diving into the Celestial Ooze. Not killing. He's not dead. I don't think he's dead. So allow... And his Thor basically flying off, allowing Kang to... and his Avengers from across the time sphere... And basically allows Kang to absorb the essence of the Celestial, and declares himself Kang, Conqueror of the Universe. Motherfucking Kang playing the motherfucking power card right when he's. I just love how epic this story is. I love how big it is and cosmic and not cosmic, but just how big in scope it is. I just love it. And I love the last page of just Kang standing there maniacally with the power of the Celestials imbued in him. I don't care how that works. It's cool. Who gives a fuck? But yeah, it was such a great issue, and I love this series. And I can't wait for other people to witness the love this fall when Access starts. That's all I'm saying. So yeah, I give it a 5 out of 5. And the story arc ends next to the first, like, big long story arc they've been doing since issue 1 is finally coming to an end, issue 22. So yeah, bring on the ultimate hardcover collections collecting the entire chapter. I would fucking love that shit. Okay, so there you go, Uncanny Avengers. If you're not reading, like, stop reading Avengers and New Avengers. You're not reading good stuff. Go read Uncanny. Uncanny's better. Uncanny's so better. Your mom thinks Uncanny's better. And would you say no to your mom? No. Go listen.
If your mom likes Uncanny, then, and your mom doesn't read comics, that should tell you all you need to know. I think Uncanny Avengers is an excellent book. Do you read comics? No, that's why I like Uncanny Avengers. Yeah, good argument. Good argument.
It's great art. Daniel Acuna on art is amazing. Brian agrees with me. I know he does it. Daniel
this book has single-handedly reversed my opinion of Daniel Acuna.
I just want to sing his praise. I just love to sing his praise because he's such a talented artist, and I love his book. And
I have to say, I hated Acuna way back when, but this book has single-handedly turned my opinion of him around.
He got better. That's what happened.
He did. He got infinitely better.
You know, and the thing is, back in the day, you know, because Steve McNiven did the book for a while. Normally, I'm like, oh, I want Steve McNiven back this time. And this time when Steve McNiven was on the book, I was like, well, could Steve McNiven get out of here? I want Acuna to come back. And he did. So, there we go. All right, I'm done. B-Rai, you're my partner in crime. You take it up next.
Hell yeah, yeah, yay! Okay. shit went down. Oh, my Lord. Oh. Oh, where to begin? Where to begin? Shit. It was top notch. What? wait a second.
Please.
I lost my train of thought for a second there. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I was blinded by Remender's awesomeness, and I just sort of fell out for a second. Okay. So, yeah. Who knew? Kang was a schemer. What else is there really to say? I mean, Ben, you kind of hit it all. I mean, there's really not a hell of a lot more to elaborate.
Your own book.
What?
What book are you reviewing?
Oh, we're not doing Book of the Week?
No, this isn't Book of the Week.
Are we not doing Book of the Week?
No, this isn't Book of the Week, motherfucker.
Oh, okay, okay, my bad. You said Book of the Week starting off, so I thought we were just doing that.
Review starting off.
No, you said Book of the Week.
Okay, commenters, listen back to the episode and let us know what you think. All right.
Okay, sorry, hang on. So just edit all that shit out then.
It's the Avengers book to be reading if you want to be hip and cool like the rest of us.
Careful. You're gonna be attracted. Well, actually, no, you won't. I was going to say you'd be attracted to hipsters.
If you don't like
you're driving them away now.
Hold on. I got this. If you don't like Uncanny, if you don't read Uncanny Avengers, you're a dirty Doctor Who fan. There, I said it.
Whoa.
Bitches, I'm going to smack the shit out of you.
Bring it on, Whovians. Shitty TV show. I got shit on me.
Okay.
With that, for real.
Yes, that's Benjamin Castrueta, 1234 Hispanic Way, Houston, Texas.
I love once again, Taylor points to the wrong city. Go ahead and go to Houston, Texas. I'm nowhere near there.
Okay, La Raza, Texas, whatever.
You know what? How could you say such a thing, Ben? That's just awful. How could you possibly consider saying something like
I'll
that?
I'll say it again. Suck it, Whovians. All right, move on. Brian, review your book.
Right. New Avengers, number 20, a.k.a. Stephen Strange,
so
is
you
a
are
scumbag,
a dirty Whovian.
But also kind of... No, dude, look at the picture.
No, but you're reading New Avengers, so you're a dirty Whovian.
No, I'm repping Doctor Strange this time around.
Betrayal! Betrayal!
Not at all.
He hit him from behind with the chair.
Okay, so starting off this book, we have Stephen Strange selling his soul in order to attain godlike power so that he can save his universe from the incursion and inevitable collapse of other universes. So, he goes to sell his soul, and they promise him power, but unfortunately, he cannot pay because, quote, deals are sealed with trust, a surety that withstands the transaction. What do you call a deal where one side cannot meet the obligations? No deal at all. Stephen Strange, you are a debtor, insolvent, a bankrupt liar. How could you offer your soul as payment, sorcerer, when you lack the full measure of one? So yeah, Stephen Strange is kind of soulless going into this. So we'll get back to that in a second. But picking up from last issue, the Great Society, a.k.a. the JLA analogs for this issue, are provoked into battle by Namor, and they sort of just start duking it out. And it actually turns lopsided near the end. Yeah, the Great Society does a decent job of kicking ass. Dr. Spectrum, who is the Green Lantern analog, I believe, speeds off to get the bomb that Tony Stark built in order to destroy the universe, which they left back on their own Earth, which I don't care what kind of plan it is, even if they do say it's for quick retrieval, quote-unquote, but you don't leave a universe-killing bomb on your own planet. You just don't do that. It's bad form. So Black Bolt chases after her, and they're pretty much out of the fight for a quick minute. Namor takes on the Jovian, who is the Martian Manhunter analog, and sort of gets tentacled, I guess, but, well, that's going to happen way bigger fashion later on in the issue. But, yeah. So, see, Black Panther takes on the Rider, a.k.a. the Batman analog, and, you know, they trade witty retorts and barbs and whatnot. And their battle's actually interrupted by Sun God, the Superman analog, crashing with Hulk, and they're just fisticuffs all over the place. Sun God actually takes Hulk down. Like, he reverts him to Banner and everything. And it's pretty brutal. Let's see. Boundless, the Flash analog, takes out Iron Man and his suit of armor, basically just calling him, Tin Man all the time, which isn't really clever. And then finally we get this bit, which is really the best bit of this book. Doctor Strange is confronted by the sorcerer on the Great Society side, the Norn, who sort of has a helmet looking like Dr. Fate, but has all this mystical mumbo-jumbo going on. And from the very beginning of this fight, he's pegged Doctor Strange as powerful, but sort of corrupt. The way he phrases it is such: this one has power, but does not guard his mind. When I see a poisoned heart, I see twisted thoughts, I see plans, dark plans, I see their weapon. So he has Stephen Strange pegged as a man willing to do anything to save his universe, including sell his soul. So the Norn goes off on this whole diatribe about how, you know, you don't need the all-seeing eye to see what's happening here. You know, you are... He kind of talks down to him, really, which Taser can back me up on this. He's read this issue, I'm sure. He talks down to Stephen Strange. And what he caps his little speech off with is, do you know the words of the Black Priest, Sorcerer Supreme? Have you heard them? And without missing a beat, Strange parrots back the words. And we get a brief interlude where Stephen's talking with Wong. And Stephen's kind of lamenting his position where once he was good man, now he's damned. He sold his soul for all this power, but, you know, he's really just kind of... All he sees is darkness now, and it's his only way out, and he hates it because he was once an honorable, virtuous man, but now he needs redemption, not just for himself, but for his universe. Yeah. And so Wong is comforting his friend, somewhere in there, you are still a good man, Stephen. And Doctor Strange rewards that faith by learning the spell with which to summon a sort of Cthulhu-looking thing, but really kind of more of a tentacle monster, hentai. But before we get to that, is just this great bit where Doctor Strange stands up, finishing off the words of the Black Priest, and just... I'm going to read this word
strips
for word.
Him.
Strips him. As he strips him of all his magical artifacts and totems and such, Stephen Strange goes, do you know these words, charlatan? Of course you don't. You don't even have the gift, do you? I would wager you've spent most of your life acquiring your items of power. At best, you're a curator, but I think we both know you're just a thief. Would you like to see real power, child? Would you like to see what the art really costs? And then he calls down this dark god-type thing, and it rips every single member of the Great Society from the ground into the sky, left fighting his sun god, and Stephen Strange caps off with, given all I had left, I have sacrificed what little remained, all to destroy your world and save mine. And Stephen Strange saves the day, question mark? But holy
Well, you still have
shit.
Sun God there. Sun
yeah,
God is
he's still fighting, God bless
viable,
him.
I think. But you yeah, know what's twisted? You know who the Dr. Fate ripoff? You know who he looks like? Timothy Hunter.
Really?
Once again, a name
Look
I'm
at him.
Aware of.
Timothy Hunter, he was from the
Hold
Books
on,
of Magic. And Timothy Hunter, there was a thing between Timothy Hunter and, what was
he
it, Harry Potter,
glasses?
Because they both, yes.
Oh, yeah, he's Harry, oh,
Look
yeah, he
him.
Was in Justice League Dark a couple issues ago, yeah.
Right, exactly. Actually, I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
They brought him
Timothy
back.
Hunter and... There was a thing between Timothy Hunter and J.K. Rowling because they both looked alike and they both did magic and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, you're right. The little brunette. Isn't he or is he American?
Something like that. No, I think he was American.
Okay,
I think he was American, but they both
British,
had similar
like,
skick.
Neil Gaiman gonna
yeah,
sue,
right.
Neil Gaiman going to sue somebody.
but look at him. He's Timothy Hunter.
Yeah, he's got the resemblance.
They reprinted those.
I'm sorry. I just had to point that out because it actually just hit me right now. I'm like, oh, shit, he's Timothy Hunt. And mocking Dr. Fate because that's what Fate did. He was a curator of sorts. So.
I wish there was a Dr. Fate ongoing series. That would be so cool.
Yeah, but it's just the way Dr. Strange rips all his totems and objects from him. Like
is
he's
that,
a,
is that,
yeah, that
commenting,
was...
commenting on how a Dr. Strange, Dr. Fate fight would really go down?
Wasn't really like that.
Okay.
Dr. Fate didn't
The helmet the Norn was wearing was
like that.
Well, the helmet the Norn was wearing was pretty much just the Doctor Strange, the Fate of
right.
Helmet
yeah,
Fate.
That's true. But between the two of them, Strange is the one who's the curator because I mean, you look at the Wanda with Tomb, the Eye of Akamoto. That, you know, he actually carries stuff into fights.
Well, he has spell books. He knows magic. I mean,
right?
You know.
No. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it's not like Stephen Strange. If you go to his Sanctum Sanctorum, he has a whole bunch of mystical artifacts that he's used over it. So, I mean, he's still wearing the Eye of Agamotto even in this issue. So,
yeah,
you know, but it's just to see him the way he strips this guy is just it's rapage. I'm saying that
happily. It's
violation. It's just comic rapage. He's like, oh my god! Ah! It tickles me looking at it.
Yeah. And I think there's a reason they released this book alongside New Avengers Annual, which is the Doctor Strange standalone story, because that book has some dark stuff going down too, where Stephen Strange questions very his own much. Morality and such. But you know what? This book, for a guy who can write very heavy intellectual pseudoscience, Hickman writes a damn good fight book too. I'll give him that. And I'm very much enjoying the journey he's taking Stephen Strange on as a character, as well as the Illuminati. This issue was just top-notch stuff. I really, really enjoyed it. And we have back with us...
I'll agree with that, actually. I'll agree with that. My only problem... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you finished. It was my name drop, so go ahead.
My only problem with this is that we've seen dark Stephen Strange before. You know, this, you know,
that's true.
Unfortunately, it's not new. And that's really my only issue, because Hickman can tell nice big stories that can make you, once it's told, you look back and you go, ooh, wow. And everybody gives him accolades. But for me, he does stuff, and then he does, like, I don't know what it is. He makes one storytelling, he makes one diversion, and he does one thing, and it just pulls me out. And I don't know, I'm not saying it happened here with this, because this was a good issue. This was the New Avengers were getting pin smacked, and then Strange just kind of went, you know, like Namor did last issue, Strange did this issue, he just kind of went, fuck all of this, you know, it's time for me to amp up and get shit done.
Yeah.
You know, that was nice, but I'm still kind of waiting, you know, because he's not done telling the story. But his story, it's kind of being long in the tooth for me, you know.
He's very much taking his time with this story.
Yeah.
I will say though, another thing, the look on the Norn's face when he sees what Stephen Strange can do is just like. Terror personified. He's God, what have you done? It's great stuff. So Stephen Strange steals the spotlight of this story. It's a great continuing effort by Hickman to sort of do this whole big thing, you know. But you do have a point, Dazer. I mean, the story's been going on pretty much since the inception of the book, if not before that, you know. So whether or not it's a quick resolve.
Yes. You notice how the Dr. Fate knockoff, how he looks? Go back and look how Black Panther looks when the Batman analog gets yoinked. Go back and look at that panel.
And the Batman analog, what happens with him?
Look at Black Panther. Black Panther's
question. Why didn't they just use the Squadron Supreme?
Because Hickman wanted to use the characters that he himself made.
But I love.
Although he did use Doctor Spectrum, and Doctor Spectrum was a Squadron Supreme character. Nuh-uh. So was Hyperion, for that matter.
Well, yeah, I knew about Hyperion. You know, he's on the team. He's on the team, though.
Right, and he used Doctor Spectrum here.
Is he on the team?
No, he was on the Great Society. He was on their side. So I'm just saying, this is just Hickman wanting to use the characters that he used. So.
Yeah, Doc Spectrum left the book early on to grab the universe killing bomb, and Black Bolt chased him, and that will probably be touched upon next issue. But this issue was really, really good stuff. We have back for the artistry work of Valerio Schitti. Whichever one is correct, I'm not entirely certain. But suffice to say, this artwork is not shitty. I liked it a lot. Like Taser said, the story is kind of getting a little bit... it's been going on for a while now, I suppose, is the best way of saying it. So, but this issue, as it is, was just fantastic to read. I really dug it. I'll give it a solid 4 out of 5. I would recommend you picking it up. And also, shout out to the New Avengers Annual with the Doctor Strange solo tale. Like, the art alone makes you want to buy the issue, people. Seriously.
Is that good, huh?
It's
really good. Art-wise, it's actually really, really good. Story's really good, really, too. Okay. But the art is really tasty.
I feel like it's if Alex Ross took acid and had a bad trip, and he sort of just painted what he saw. That would be what happened.
You know, off topic, you know who I would love to see do a Doctor Strange book? In terms of art wise? Ben Temple Smith.
Wow.
I don't know him.
Go Google him, you'll see. I really like his art style. That'd be cool for Doctor Strange. It's more so because of what he does with colors and effects.
He did 30 Days of Night, and he does 10 grand right now.
Yeah, he doesn't do 10 grand
anymore. Oh, okay. No, I know 30 Days of Night, though. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Actually, you know who Valerio Shitty, whoever? Sienkiewicz. Bill Sienkiewicz.
Sienkiewicz,
damn it.
It's Sienkiewicz. I know it's Sienkiewicz, okay?
Sienkiewicz
is like your mole man in Brooklyn.
Exactly, Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah, exactly. He is the.
Seriously,
I'll flip through it. If I don't buy it,
is his art is reminiscent of that? But when you see how his visuals play out, I'm guessing it's a he because the first name is Valerio. It's like Bri-Bri said, it's trippy. It's really fucking trippy. Okay. So it works with that whole pan-dimensional, astral projectional, you know, concept. You know, it's not static and focused. It's layered and shifty and altered and everything else like that. Okay. I do think you would enjoy this.
All right.
Offline, you should pick this up.
I'll see. We'll see. If anything, I'll at least flip through it if I remember on Wednesday. Okay. Last but not least, maybe I have something in mind. But Taser,
huh?
Take it away.
What?
Iron Man. What the fuck did Tony Stark have to do with the Hulk?
Oh, that.
What?
I can see Tony Stark. Well,
Bri, you can ruin it for me. Go ahead, dude.
I just want to point out. There is quite a bit of potential flashbacks in this issue. I don't think Tony Stark doesn't have a martini in his hand at any point in those flashbacks. He's always palming a drink on him. I swear to God. But you go. You tell it.
Okay. Original Sin, Hulk versus Iron Man, number one. Bearing in mind, this is the RDJ Jr. version of Iron Man. So, yeah, they've kind of gone back and like Bri-Bri just said, yeah, he's pretty much never seen without something, you know, some alcoholic drink either in his hands or, you know, somewhere close by. You know, they're really playing up. Playboy, swinger, always got it cool no matter what. And, you know, I'm that new Jack Swing version of Tony Stark. I for the movie it worked, I'm kind of disappointed to see that they're phasing it in, but fuck it. You know, I'm not going to argue with it here because that would just be a much longer podcast and I don't want to do that to you people. Either way, Original Sin, Hulk versus Iron Man 1 starts off with basically Iron Man getting his ass beat by the Hulk. I'm sure most of you guys, you know, might have heard and maybe might have seen or, you know, reference to Hulk, you know, going apeshit on somebody, you know, some hero because of something. But every so often back in the day, you'd have, you know, the hero fight, and usually it'd be like something where there's just no way this is going to happen for this hero. There's no way they can win. And then they pull off something, and, you know, the one you don't think should win would win. Case in point, Iron Man has actually beaten the Hulk back in his classic golden red armor. And I kid you not, he did it by overcharging his cells and slapping the batteries on his ears, and that dropped the Hulk, which made no fucking sense whatsoever, but it was a win. However, in most other cases, yes, Hulk would wax that ass. In this case, we're talking Tony Stark with his nano upgraded beta engine, you know, Mark 92 armor. You know, the one that comes out of his skin. The one that he morphs to be anything that he wants it to be. Yeah. Which is kind of correct for, you know, Iron Man. And Iron Man is getting that ass whooped. It starts off with an awesome thing with basically Iron Man almost on his knees trying to blast a Hulk. And, you know, he's taking it right to the hilt. And then Tony forms another gun and he's hitting him with stuff. And, you know, Hulk's just like, ah! And then he does
a classic Civil War. I'm just saying. The only reason it didn't happen is because Hulk was off planet. But, like, God damn it, this should have...
Which makes sense, because can you imagine if Hulk was in Civil War?
Well, that's why they had to remove him, because he was just too powerful. He would have...
Yeah, well, no, it would have been him and Sentry. It would have been him and Sentry.
Which is what World War Hulk was.
Oh, right, but this would have been a longer fight, because it would have had way more collateral damage. Not only... Anyway. Not going to get into that one. Hulk does the Hulk clap, and, you know, if you've known Hulk, that's a classic bitch smack move. It's like, excuse me, wham, and everything flattens. So Tony doesn't recover in time because Hulk's got a follow up, and that's that good left hook. And it sends him through not one, not two, but actually, yeah, just two buildings. And he, you know, skips on the ground, and he's, you know, he's kind of like sizzling and popping, and, you know, he's popping some kind of drone, gamma blades, deploying gamma blades, and he's just waiting for the Hulk to show up. But Hulk doesn't run at him. He jumps on him, and it's a tactic that he, you know, wasn't expecting because, and unfortunately, I hadn't been reading this, something happened in Hulk's book where Banner is in control, and he's still got the Hulk's power, and he's not Professor Hulk.
Sorry, that wasn't in Hulk. That was actually in Avengers, where after Bruce found out about what the Illuminati have been up to, they supply him a way to control himself while in the Hulk state, I think. Yeah,
okay. All right. Thank you for that. I didn't know that.
So actually, Tony hooked him up with that tech. So
continuity.
Yeah, so this is – yeah, see, now that's a good thing. And this is why – it's proving a problem with him, because you're talking about a guy who has the Hulk's power
with the mind of Dr.
and
Banner.
Access to his rage and his intelligence. So he's intelligent and pissed. I love it. And not only that, but he's talking. Hey, hey, it's old-fashioned Hulk again, everybody. Fuck Marvel now. So we get to this point, and
whatever.
Quiet there. Dingbat. But anyway, and this is what leads Tony to reminisce about exactly why he's on the worst end of an ass beating. And it all happens, this happens because of what happened in Original Sin 3, which was the eyeball explosion and, you know, waves of Watcher energy. And it hits both Tony and Bruce. And it causes their minds – this is how they riffed it off in the story, so, you know, don't bitch at me. It causes their minds to, like, interconnect, and their memories kind of flood into each other. And at a certain point, they converge on the whole gamma bomb incident. And we all know what happened with the gamma bomb. You know, Bruce was building a bomb for the military, and, you know, Rick Jones, and stop the test, and he goes out, and it goes kaboom. What we don't know, at least I didn't know, and I'm pretty sure this is a retcon, but Bruce knew Tony from back in the university days or something like that. And, you know, they apparently were partners.
Which, by the way,
and
they name dropped Science Bros for anyone who knows what's up on Tumblr and the Avengers and whatnot. But, yeah, they name dropped Science
Bros. Really?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That's a thing.
Fair enough. so, yeah, it shows them actually in the lab working together and,
Mario,
you know,
really
they're doing stuff.
Somebody.
Do, 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 do. And, you know, come to find out that Tony would leave Bruce to do the work while he went out and partied and blah, blah, blah. Bruce goes on and he continues his work, you know, involving gamma radiation and everything else like that. And when he's doing one of the pitches about what his bomb is supposed to do, Bruce kind of gives the brass the idea that, you know, he wants to do what they would call hippy-dippy stuff. You know, the
peace
bomb
and love, man.
Exactly. And Ross and everybody else assembled is like, huh, what? Grr! We want bombs! Save American lives! Grr! And Bruce is trying to extol the virtues of what the bomb's potential could be. Meanwhile, at the same time, unfortunately, Tony walks in, martini in hand. I kid you not, it's freaking hilarious to see him do this. And he just kind of walks in and interjects himself in the presentation. And, you know, Bruce kind of, you know, resents it because Tony looks at the schematics for the bomb, and he kind of goes, well, yeah, you did this, and you did this, and I wouldn't have done this here, this, and that. And everybody loves Tony because Tony Stark builds weapons. So things start to get heated for Bruce, and Tony's no real help, and they're all jumping on him. He yells at the brass, and, you know, again, Bruce goes into his spiel. And then they start having a go about, you know, because Bruce doesn't really appreciate Tony coming in. And Tony, you know, he's kind of had his swagger checked. So, you know, Tony gets upset and, he gets storms off and, you know, jump to the forward. And it's after the bomb had the eyeball bomb had gone off and Tony's kind of wondering, you know, what had happened. And, you know, he's looking for Bruce. Most of what I'd talked about had been a flashback. It was Tony remembering that moment. And it was something that he had, I guess, kind of packed away, you know, mostly because it never happened before. But he's still in his armor. And who was it? Cap. And I think Maria Hill. Yes, Maria Hill. You know, she's looking. They're looking at him, and you know, they realize that he had still been unconscious, and he's kind of, oh my God, I've got to go find Bruce because, and he's so driven to do this because he remembers that apparently he had gone behind Bruce's back and tinkered with the bomb. You know, yeah. And Bruce,
oh, hell Bruce, no.
Yeah, Bruce,
yeah.
Bruce, for him,
yeah.
For his edification, current day Bruce went back to wherever in Arizona, the bunker where the original bomb equipment and all the shit that he had kept, it's been stored and, you know, dumped in and sealed or whatever. And which is funny because it sees him going into some rundown place with a crowbar. I'm like, really, a crowbar? And he cracks open his door and he starts going through files and you see him remembering the same thing and he doesn't remember, you know, these hands because he's remembering Tony's hands and he sees Tony's hands working on his bomb.
Oh no.
You know? So basically,
that's me eating popcorn.
Yeah, and here a quote. Let me see. It's the last page. I see it so vividly in my mind's eye, but I know I never performed that procedure on the gamma bomb, nor do I drink. Those aren't my hands. It's not my memory. It's proof positive that it belongs to someone else. Tony Stark, my friend. You sabotaged the gamma bomb, Tony. You made me into the Hulk. To be continued.
Dun, dun,
so yeah, you know that's right there.
So Tony Stark is Dr. That. Frankenstein.
Well,
pretty much.
I'll put it to you this way: Tony probably really weaponized the bomb, which you know,
which
apparently
is why it went off in the way it did.
No. It went off because Abomination fired it off anyway. Remember, Bruce had told him to hold the countdown. Abomination, as the Russian spy, went and fired it anyway because he was trying to kill Bruce.
if Bruce hadn't been out there, he wouldn't have been turned into whatever. I guess it might have – I don't know what it was supposed to have done instead of whatever it did due to Tony's actions. But, you know, barring any other piece of information coming down the pike later on in further issues, yeah, something Tony did probably led to him being the Hulk, you know, because he jigged with the technology, you know, or whatever.
Which, actually, by the way, I had a question. Hulk was conceived in the 60s, right?
Because of both of them. Atomic bomb.
Yeah. Well, what I find hilarious is that in the flashbacks, Ross talks about how he's bankrolling the plan with $2.6 billion in like 1960 something.
That's not
which right. I find just fucking hilarious.
Well, one, somebody should have caught that because that shouldn't be set in 1960 anymore. That should be.
This is 2.6. I don't think there was 2.6 billion in 1960.
No, the scene should have said 1994 or something.
Yeah,
no
shit.
What I think is funny is that, well, hold on. Just so I can get the West pertinent information out of the way, because I know he loves this stuff. I don't care, but he loves it. This story was done by Mark Waid and Kieran Gillian. And Mark Bagley did the pencils. Andrew Hennessy was on inks, and Jason Keith colorist.
Mark Bagley drew this?
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, Wade and Gillian did this.
Well, by the way, Bagley. Shout out to G.G. Jones.
Oh, Bagley,
for the
yeah, Bagley
cover.
Did the pencils. I love the cover. The cover is cool.
That's J.G. Jones right there.
J.G. Jones. Yeah, J.G. Jones did the cover.
He good.
This was a fun story. This really was fun story. And it was only because I wanted to see Tony Stark get his ass beat. And who that ass is going to get beat?
Well, we got, three more issues, right, for the miniseries?
Is it running
one?
It's a four-issue miniseries, I think.
Okay.
So we got four issues.
Then you know what? I'm going to say that something else probably happened along the way. It'll be something Tony did, and then something else will come along and kind of nullify that. Something else will happen, and it won't be Tony's fault, but there'll still be like strife between them because, you know, you can't be a Marvel hero and not have strife with other Marvel heroes. You know, that's just unheard of. But
Captain America doesn't have strife.
They changed Cap into Commander America. He's no longer Captain America. Look at the way he's behaving now. He's in charge of SHIELD.
Well, he's kind of old and decrepit and without a superpower now. Which, everybody can catch up. Captain America next week will be our book of the week. So, yeah.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, Captain America's lost his powers before. And been turned into a man.
I know, but
so again,
I know
it's you know
it's
what's
not,
old
it's
is new
more
again.
Because
yeah.
I want people to read this grand scale that's been started since issue one.
I'm not going to argue that. That's all. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying.
No, I know. But, I've read some stories where he lost his powers. It's the way he lost his powers. I want to know why he lost his powers this time. Like, what happened? The fuck.
Well, anyway, I'm going to give this book 4 warriors out of 5 because it was fun. I was there just to see Hulk beat on Iron Man, especially this version of Tony Stark, because while it works for the movies, I don't like this version of Tony Stark too much. Everything since, I'll say, Disassemble, I don't like that version of Tony Stark because that version of Tony Stark thinks he knows. You know? And while I have no problem with confident characters, he knows, and what I know is good for you regardless of whether you agree with me or not. That's what I disagree with, and that's why I want to see this version of Tony Stark get his ass whooped. You know, because, yeah, you know, you may be intelligent and you may have an idea of what's going on, but as we've seen, he doesn't know everything, and he misses some shit, and shit goes wrong.
So there's,
you know,
somebody else behind this.
Yeah, there's going to be something else going on here. I don't have a doubt of that. I could be wrong, but just like I was wrong about Nick Fury. Holy shit, did you guys read Original Sin 4?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh, my Lord.
So apparently, this is not Book of the Week talk. This is just talking about one aspect of the book.
This is us geeking out over.
Well, you know what? I immediately feel bad for using Taps because I thought he was dead, you know.
Yeah.
But no, he might be the mastermind behind this entire thing.
I don't think so. What I think is... Oh, okay, agree. You know what I do think, though? I think that Nick Fury will still die by the end of the storyline.
He's old and decrepit.
Exactly.
Look how old he was.
I think he'll still die.
That's not right.
Yeah, he was really, really
old.
That's
not right,
man.
That's
bullshit. He had the Infinity Formula. He should be ageless.
Didn't you say he was going out of him, though?
Well, yeah. Well, but that was only at the end of Battle Scars. The way he looks, it's not like he's been aging for a while.
Well, he could have just been using LMDs this entire time.
That blows my mind. Well, actually, it really shouldn't, considering this is Nick Fury we're talking
Nick
about.
Fury,
damn.
Of course.
No, you know what's funny? If I remember correctly, Wolverine has been able to tell an LMD from a human person before.
Advanced
Logan
tech?
Had no clue.
Advanced tech?
What happened?
Advanced tech? I don't fucking
know. Yeah! That's fair.
I mean,
that's entirely fair.
They've gotten
but
better,
just,
you know.
The
their superior models is not out of the realm of possibility of a man.
You're 100%
just,
correct.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's like, what the hell, man? I thought you were dead. You're on death's bed, but you're still alive.
Then pops out of a box like Solid Snake. Surprise, cut bangs.
No, he's like Big Boss.
But yeah, well, I will say Crystal Sin 4 was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It's an I will say as an event book, in terms of just – I haven't read any of the tie-ins yet that cross into books that I'm reading right now. But just as a single story, it's really entertaining.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from Nick Fury, but I got to admit, I did not see that coming. That took me by surprise.
I didn't see that coming either.
What the fuck?
It's good to see them actually use LMD finally. Yeah.
And also, Bucky, could you have been more cryptic about what the hell you were up to? Just, you know.
You know what I forgot, and that they mentioned in the book is that I forgot that Bucky was declared dead after Fear Itself. I forgot about that.
I didn't.
Yeah, he
what
goes
I
back
know is,
after that.
What I want to know is this. What made Bucky think that Fury was behind everything and that Fury was a LMD? Because he doesn't explain anything. And I'm hoping that comes in the next issue, but he just doesn't. He just kind of knows. Like, really?
Maybe he was in on it?
And
I mean, Fury does tell him things.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but then explain to me why Fury, the Fury LMD said what he said to Barnes.
I have no idea.
See, that's what I'm saying. So I'm waiting to hear the explanation because Bucky doesn't explain anything. He just kind of goes off on the knowledge that, okay, I figured it out.
All I know is
and
that
I
on Original Sin, I want a Punisher, Doctor Strange team-up book because those guys are wonderful together. I want that book. I want that. I need that.
Actually, I kind of enjoy Moon Knight and Gamora.
Yeah, that was great.
I find that would be kind of fun, too.
I don't know this broad. It's better today. Meanwhile, she's slicing and dicing, and it's just all perfect.
Actually, she took a nice hit from Bucky, too. I was like, holy shit, he got a hit in.
Yeah. And then well, because then she took slice. Emma, and holy, she put Emma down.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that at all.
So, yeah.
Fucking, when it comes to badass skills, Gamora is top shit. You know, Elektra isn't even on her level. I'm being honest here. Elektra ain't got shit compared
to Gamora. That would be an interesting versus battle.
That would be a good fight, but it would be an Elektra lost fight. I'm being serious here.
Don't underestimate the Scarlet Assassin. I'll just say that much.
Yeah, Thong Chick would get her
Scarlet Assassin?
The Scarlet Assassin.
Yeah, who's that? Black Widow?
Oh! or
okay, I'm
Daredevil,
dropping the bomb. I'm dropping
the points.
Daredevil.
Really? Didn't he do that during what was that? Poison Land or Hellblazer Land? Or
and it was wearing black, so it's not Scarlet.
Anyway, it had red in it.
The point is, okay, I'm gonna drop a bomb. Elektra kicks Black Widow's ass in a fight. I'm saying it right now. All you Black Widow fans from the Little Avengers movie? Nah.
Actually, yeah, I'd buy that.
Elektra's better.
I would buy that.
She's hotter and she's a better fighter. And she's a better spy.
Wide margin. So, and yeah. She's got psychic powers. So yeah, that would yeah, she does.
I don't remember. Plus she's actually come back from the dead. So there you go.
Twice.
It's Frank Miller's best creation, I'll say that much. All right. So there
yeah, I'll get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's there you go. That does it for episode number 170. This weekend is 4th of July. Be safe out there. Don't be stupid. Have fun within your limits. You know, don't be a jackass.
Go see Transformers.
No. Just
go see Transformers.
Go do the American thing. Go pirate Captain America the Winter Soldier and go watch
it. It had explosions. Balloons.
You know what? I'm going to go watch Independence Day. Fuck all y'all. Okay?
So later for that, I'm going to go watch Bad Boys.
Wow.
That used to be
Go watch something from the Michael Bay or Roland Emmerich oeuvre, and you'll be fine.
I do like 2012. I do like 2012 as a movie. I am not even...
Yeah, actually, so do I. That's a good Destructo movie.
I love that movie.
Maybe I'll watch Live Free, Die Hard. That wasn't that
No,
bad.
It's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, it wasn't compared to the first one, yeah. Obviously.
Die Hard with a Vengeance is at least somewhat entertaining.
It's got Sam Jackson in it, of course it's entertaining. That's a white man with white problems. You take care of him, like Sam Jackson.
No, but yet.
What you don't know is that was secret in Nick Fury trying to recruit John McClane to S.H.I.E.L.D. this entire time.
Ed Cannon accepted.
Well, you know who would be an awesome recruit for S.H.I.E.L.D.? Jack Bauer. God damn it. Jack Bauer for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Jack Bauer for S.H.I.E.L.D. Make that shit happen. Jack Bauer. Get the hashtag and the Facebooks. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on the normal social networks.
Can you imagine this team up? Jack Bauer, the Punisher, and the Grifter. Oh.
That would be awesome.
Oh. Jack Bauer, the Punisher, Grifter, and Rambo. Yeah.
I don't know.
Rambo doesn't talk like that. That's sly.
He doesn't talk.
Rambo's
he barely talks.
Rambo. Okay.
He
Rambo
mutters under his breath.
Nothing is over.
Oh, he's Bob Dylan now.
I was saying nothing is over. Nothing is over. I love. If you don't love Rambo, if you don't love at least the first Rambo movie. You're
First Blood? Yes, that was awesome.
Although I did love the last one, the one he made a couple years ago.
Oh, the one? Yes, that was a very good movie.
Yeah,
that was a very good movie. Yeah. And it was rated R, so it was a rarity, too.
Yeah.
Fucking PG-13 bullshit.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, you know, I don't like Rambo 3 all that much, but I really like the last Rambo movie. I think that's one of my favorites.
I gotta be honest.
Sly still got it. He's still good. Better than Schwarzenegger. I can't look.
Which is why I don't understand why you don't like Expendables. The first Expendables was an awesome movie.
No, I like Expendables 1. I didn't like Expendables 2 because of what it did to Jean-Claude.
Well, that's understandable.
You know, whereas Expendables 3, it's like I'm not impressed with the cast this time around.
What? It's got Harrison Ford.
Let's continue this discussion offline. We will see y'all next week for episode 1.
Someone get me Clint Eastwood for old Nick Fury ASAP. Do it.
We will see y'all next week for episode number 170. The Tiger.